of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy is whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 29th day of April, year 2018. This is also the 10th day of Ziv, Z-I-V, in our Hebrew calendar, which means it's 26 days to Pentecost. We also want to remind you the 24 hours prior to Pentecost is a day of affliction for the house of Jacob Israel. That it means a day of fasting and prayer, and boy, do we need it. The title of today's program is, Who Do You Trust? There is no scheduled guest, so the phone lines will be open. If you have your pens and pencils handy, I'll give you the call-in number here in just a minute. As we get started, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to his holy or sanctified remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Please note, I did not say Yiddish. Yiddish is a fake, phony, make-believe language made up primarily of ancient German words used by the imposters of Revelation chapter 2 verse 9 and chapter 3 verse 9 in this day and age. Interestingly enough, the word Yid in their own language means deceiver, so Yiddish is the language of deceivers. To my Welsh kinsman Shumai, also Pinyan Ha Da Kumru Ambith. And again, I may have butchered the pronunciation, but I think my kinsmen will forgive me on that one. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and we have a lot of information there, scheduled radio shows, as well as archives of past programs, a lot of information on health, current events, study material, new websites, which are popping up all the time with this identity truth on it. And truth in general, sometimes it's secular, but if you're following the truth, you're going to eventually come to Christ, aren't you? Yeshua HaMashiach. You can't help that. If you're following the truth with all your heart, you will come to know Messiah, period. You can't follow the truth and not get there. We do want to apologize for the technical difficulties once again that we had coming up here in the beginning of the program. I had to restart my, broadcasting program 5 or 6 times before it would finally link up. So I don't know if it's trolls and saboteurs doing this, but isn't it funny? I mean, 18 and a half years of broadcasting and at least 2.5 or so here at eurofolkradio.com, almost never had this kind of problem before. Now all of a sudden we do, as the enemy is starting to feel the heat. Can you feel the fire starting to get hotter, folks? The fires of Obadiah 18, the fires mentioned in the book of Revelation, the fires of judgment. Interestingly enough, our QAnon folks are talking about similar things. And I know a lot of folks don't believe that QAnon is actually doing any good, but, you know, I follow the posts pretty regular. And no, I'm not saying they're going to teach you all the truths that identity will teach you, but I do find that they are paralleling a lot of the things that we've talked about here for years. In fact, Jordan Sather in his YouTube channel, Destroying the Illusion, was talking about the fact that, isn't it interesting that even some of the more mainstream are now talking about things like the cabal, the deep state, the Zionists, treason in America, constitutionality, the fact that we're a republic, and the fact that we need military tribunals to take care of something as rotten to the core as we've become. Interestingly enough, we've been talking about that here at Eurofolk Radio for a couple years. We've been talking about that as watchmen for decades, haven't we, Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve and the rest of the EFR folks? By the way, keep Mr. David James and Pastor Eli in your prayers. Apparently, David is in the process of changing locations, and our brothers, we do keep them in our prayers for Yahweh's help in that movement. Again, on the day of May 22nd in the evening, which is Sivan 4, the fourth day of Sivan, we're going to start a 24-hour fast and call out to our Heavenly Father for His intervention in this world. It's time to put an end, and I mean end, to what these bastards have been doing. Enough heartache, enough hardship in this world, and we need to put an end to it. And the sons and daughters of Yahweh are the ones that are going to do it. Now, if the people that are associated with Q are part of that, well, that's great. But we can do it with or without Q, with or without Trump, with or without anybody in Washington, with or without anybody in the Pentagon. Yahweh doesn't need those folks. He doesn't need us either, by the way. It's interesting. Everybody talks about the plan. And yet we forget that in the scriptures, the word logos, the Greek word logos, if you look it up in Thayer's Greek English lexicon, could be translated plan just as easily as word. And the reason is because it takes intelligence to formulate a plan, just as it takes intelligence to speak words. Okay? In fact, that's where we get the word logic from, logos in the Greek, logic. So, every time you see the word mentioned, you can substitute the plan. Now, Q keeps saying, stick with the plan. All right, I am. That's Yahweh's plan. I don't know. I'm not privy to know what the people inside the Beltway, the Pentagon, and these folks at QAnon, I'm not sure what their plan is. We haven't been shown the plan. But I do know Yahweh's plan. And I'll stick with that plan. So if QAnon and the rest of the folks are on board with Yahweh's plan, then I'm on with them. If their plan is other than that, then separate yourself from it. Okay, no matter how patriotic it sounds, no matter how good it sounds, if it's not going to go Father's way, then I don't want any part of it. I will continue to prepare my ark because everybody else is going to drown, only this time by fire, which means it's going to be even worse. Because anybody can tell you drowning is bad, burning is a hell of a lot worse. In Noah's day, they drowned. That's usually pretty painless and quick. Quick gulp of water and you're gone. Burning, not so pleasant, not so fast. All right, Yahweh says at this time, because of the iniquity of the enemy, the evil ones, what they have done, it's starting to come to light. Just as scripture says, all things will be revealed. Well, they are. Whether it's WikiLeaks or QAnon or whoever, Yahweh is allowing the deep, deep rabbit holes that these people have built and dug, and their criminality and their absolutely bestial behavior is coming to light. And the anger of people is rising. Captain Witness on Eurofolk Radio is out there in Washington State. He's witnessed some things. I did see a posting by some patriots up in Michigan at the Trump rally up there, and there were a lot of people carrying QAnon signs around demanding that the text be revealed, demanding that justice be done. Folks, if you want to see things happen, right there is your clue. Just like scripture says, be ye doers and not hearers only of Yahweh's word. Be doers. Nowhere in scripture does it say you're going to get into the kingdom with a reward because you were the best at some computer game, or that you spent the most face time in front of your tablet or your cell phone, or in this case, smartphones. There's no reward for that. Oh, I got the highest score in Call of Duty. Oh, that's really great. Take your seat right over there with the rest of the terrors. We're going to have to turn up a few notches on the Fahrenheit scale here because we got so many of you video game players and couch sitters and dumbasses that sit around thinking you can just wait your way through this one. No, not going to happen. This is the time where Yahweh decides who goes and who stays. This is it. How many years have we been telling you? This is a test. This life down here is a test. You're under the dome and it's a test. Why do you give a rat's rear end as to what's beyond the dome? That's what I don't understand. What do you even care? Why do you worship science? Why do you worship NASA? Why do you worship some charlatan quack like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's just another face put up there for you to latch onto, but he's a complete moron, all right? Take away the teleprompter or the script, and the guy doesn't even know how to finish a sentence. Oh, just like his cousin, Barack. Morons. Just like Congressman Doug, I think his name's Doug Johnson down there in Georgia. He's an embarrassment. His IQ level doesn't even reach room temperature, all right? You think that other hag in Washington is stupid? Just listen to this guy in Congress as he's trying to Well, the first time he was trying to question an admiral when he talked about the fact that Guam might tip over, the island of Guam. That just shows you how smart he is. And then he tried to berate Diamond and Silk, the two black ladies that were testifying, and the guy is a complete idiot. It's an embarrassment to our brothers and sisters in Georgia that this guy's even in office. It's an embarrassment that you would elect somebody as dumb as this. It's like Maxine Waters, another one, an embarrassment. Nancy Pelosi, an embarrassment. These people are dumber than doorstops, and yet they're making decisions in your highest levels of government? Now do you know why the Founding Fathers said you have qualifications? You know, people say, well, we need to bring back some tests, Dan. We should test our candidates before they can take public office. Hey, let me just tell you something. Well, why did we ever stop? The Founding Fathers had qualifications. The Founding Fathers didn't say just because you're over 18 and suck air, you can make decisions on how to govern a nation such as this. So what you're saying then is, oh, the older I get, the smarter my Founding Fathers become. Yeah, that's right. The Founding Fathers had it figured out. Why is that? Because instead of playing games on flat screens, the image of the beast, they actually read books. They actually had debate. They actually discussed things that are important. And they understood common sense. They understood what you have to do to make sure you don't run into the problems we have today. And what did we do? Well, first of all, our biggest mistake was letting the Jews come into this country, which the Founding Fathers, Ben Franklin, General George Washington, and all the rest said, don't ever let that happen. But like dumbasses, we didn't listen, did we? We let these creatures waltz right in here and start undermining like little termites, start eating away at the foundations that the Founding Fathers built. That shows you our level of commitment, doesn't it? And speaking of commitment, and I'll give the call-in number in a second, but speaking of commitment, it shows you the commitment of the folks here at EFR because we're having troubles technically lately. I'm not sure why, but we are. I had to restart my utility program to do this broadcast. I had to start it six times before it finally went through and worked. Six times. So that's the sign of a true patriot, a true believer in Yahweh is persistence, tenacity. Yeah, we don't give up. That's what you bastards on the other side do. We don't give up. We're going to get this information out one way or the other. If I got to go back to doing it the way I did it 30 years ago, I'll do it that way. One Israelite at a time in conversation, or one congregation at a time in a building or a barn or a living room or a basement. Doesn't matter to us. This is the only thing we live for, is telling Yahweh's truths, because it's the only thing that sets you free. It's the only thing that sets you free, people. And we're going to do a little analysis of John chapter 8, verse 32 here in just a second. And here's your call-in number for anybody that does want to call in later on. Area code 605. Again, that is 605-472-5300. The access code, 649-249. Also, we want to remind folks in I believe it's at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Yahweh warns the enemy, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pay heed, enemies of Yahweh. You've had a good run here. Centuries of abuse, centuries of murder, centuries of pedophilia. Judgment Day is coming. The sickle is preparing to be put to the tares. Hallelujah. Anyway, we go to John chapter 8, verse 32 here, and we see in the King James, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, this is where we English speakers are at a disadvantage, all right? Because we've been spoiled. In this day and age, so many people speak English. We don't study second languages like everybody else in the world does. You know, you go to Europe, you go to Asia. English is mandatory. It's not a nice thing to, it's mandatory. Why? Because English has become what French used to be, what Latin used to be, what Greek used to be, which is the language of commerce and politics in the modern era. So, all right. I just got a note that somebody said that the sound was going, and so somebody needs to tell me real quick here, can you hear me or not? Because I don't want to keep going if there's, it might be some single person or it might be everybody. So let me check my monitors here. All right. So if you could, anybody on the Euro Folk Radio studio audience on Skype, if you could let me know if you can hear, or any of the folks out there with the phone number. I did get one message. That's how I found out. All right. So I'm hearing that the sound is good. So I apologize for that. We're just having so much trouble here. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but keep it in your prayers that Father takes care of whoever's causing the problem. So again, we go back here to John chapter 8, verse 32, and it says about the truth, the truth shall set you free. We're at a disadvantage for not knowing the Greek, because if you go to Thayer's and you look up the Greek word in the concordance, as soon as I get this to start working here, you'll see that the number of the word is 1659, and it's Eleutherio. And it means figuratively to be exempt from moral, ceremonial, or mortal liability, deliver or make free. So it's got to do free from being held responsible for violating the law. All right. So it's not just the word free as we understand it in English. It's free as far as being liable for Yahweh's law, if you know the truth and obey it. So for a lot of the Judeo-Christians, I know because I went to the churches, and they'd read that verse and they would not understand what it was trying to tell them because they don't understand Greek.
Welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. There is one other participant in the conference.
Okay, Pastor Steve, welcome to the program.
Well, brother, you got good sound. I don't know what's your problem with the other people's computers, but you sound great. The technical difficulties this morning with Eli, he has his old computer with him on the road. He's up at David's. They're getting ready to move David. And I don't know whether he's going to do VOC. I put a filler in for him, and I also filled in for Asimov for Ted. He didn't have a repeat in there. I'm playing catch up with the fillers on airtime for EFR. But I really like the verse that you have picked today for discussion. I have the sound turned down, so it's just going to be the telephone with thee and me. It said, if you stay in my word, you are truly my taught ones. That's verse 31. Well, they aren't staying in the word because the word is not in them. The ones that he is addressing. It says in my scriptures, so Yeshua said to those Yehudim who believed him. Okay, that is deceiving because they were not Yehudim, they were Edomites. And they didn't want to hear what he had to say. In the following verse, it said, they answered him, we are the seed of Abraham and have been servants to no one at any time. How do you say you shall become free? Well, that disqualifies them as Israelites and identifies who they truly are, because the Edomites were not in servitude as the Israelites were in the land of Mitzrayim. So people need to study a lot more than what they are studying, and they could easily catch this. They cannot rely on those of us who have studied to continually teach them. What if I don't wake up some morning? You know, that could happen. I'm getting close. I'm an old man. I've had health problems. A lot of people are gone. People need to get off their dead duck and study to show themselves approved. Over to you.
Yep. Amen to that. And that's a good verse on 31. It says in there, if you continue, the Greek word is 3306. And it does talk about the fact that it's the idea of enduring, continuing, remaining in his word, his plan, his word, whatever. And the Geneva Bible has a note in here for shall make you free. It could also say free from the slavery of sin, which is the transgression.
Very accurate right there. Yep. That is the context of what he said there. You'll be free from the slavery of sin. The same way they have mistranslated, you have to be born again. Well, no, it does not say born again. It's just born from above. You must be one of the heavenly people that Yahweh put in a body down here, not the seed of the devil. We have a lot of devils in shoe leather today. We see their results all the time. Over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, adversaries, if people remember that, adversaries. So, yeah, excellent, excellent. Well, I've got some more things to read off here, Pastor Steve. Did you want to stay on the line for later discussion, or did you want to hang up?
No, I just want to let you know that you're loud and clear, you're sounding good, and I wanted to comment on that particular verse. I don't like the Bogart. I do so many shows, Dan. I don't like the Bogart people's shows. you do such a wonderful job, and your insight is tremendous. So I'll hang up and let you keep on keeping on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. Yahweh bless
you. Yahweh bless you.
All right, very good, folks. Again, that's Pastor Steve, another one of the excellent teachers here at Eurofolk Radio, not only of Yahweh's Word, but just keeping us abreast of what's going on. And there is a lot of stuff going on right now, folks. That's why I entitled it, Who Do You Trust? Well, first of all, you trust the Holy Spirit, folks, okay? Just as we talked about in John chapter 8 here, are you putting all of your trust in your interpretation of Scripture written over 2,000 years ago? Now, that it's important. I'm not saying it's not important. But how can that be more important than your real-time communication with the Father? Now, for those of you who don't have real-time, in the present, communication with Father, you'd better get there. We're running out of time. No fence setting, remember, this go-around? No fence setting. Yahweh took that nice big wide plank-type fence out there. Like in the old days, they used to put a board up there almost 10 inches across. You could sit your fat ass up there and sit there all day long. Well, Yahweh's taken that fence, and he's made it razor sharp. You can sit up there maybe for about 5 seconds, and you better jump off of there. No fence setting this time around, so make up your minds, folks. You're either with Yahweh, our Yahshua, or you're not. All right? So if you want to believe that some outfit in Washington, D.C. or the Pentagon's going to save everybody and solve all our problems alone, well, you've just made them your idol, haven't you? That's idolatry. If you put your faith in any person or anything other than Father Yahweh, you are an idolater. What did Elijah do with the idolaters, the priests of Baal, down by Kishon? He had them beheaded. Did Yahweh punish Elijah for doing that? Last time I checked, no. I think Elijah was a pretty cool character in Yahweh's eyes. And what about Phinehas when he stuck the spear down through the high-level official of the Israelites while he was banging the broad of a different race? He stuck them, he skewered them with a spear. Let's see, what did Yahweh do to him? Oh my gosh, the book says that he has a special relationship, him and his posterity, for eternity. Now what does the enemy want you to think about taking matters into your own hand today? Oh, that's right. You've got to call the authorities. All right. What's Jay from downtown white police tell us all the time? What's it called? DICA or DACA or something like that. They've got a little acronym for it. Don't get involved. Call the authorities. I think it's DICA, D-I-C-A. Don't get involved. Call the authorities. Oh, really? And just who are the authorities? The same ones that have been lying to us for decades? The same ones in pedophilia for decades? The same ones complicit in murder and cover-up and false imprisonment for decades, if not longer? These are the people we're supposed to call? Let's see. Now, my Bible says the whole world is in travail, waiting for the police to show up. No, that's not it. Waiting for the United Nations to show up. That's not it either. Waiting for Trump to show up. That's not in there either. Oh, that's it. Right here. The sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Okay? Who do you trust? Now, I personally think that there's some good guys behind the QAnon stuff. I think there's good guys like the former CIA officer, Kevin Shipp, who just put out a new YouTube with Craig Hunter, in which he describes a civil war going on below the radar screen of most of the simpletons in the United States. And it's a war between the cabal, the sons and daughters of darkness, which is an idiomatic expression meaning ignorance. Ignorance without the knowledge of good and evil that Yahweh brings. Ignorance and evil and wickedness. These against the, you might call them children of light, children of truth, honesty, justice. What did we say for a long time that we need to be? Radamanthine warriors. Radamanthine warriors. What's Radamanthine mean? To be strictly and uncompromisingly just. J-U-S-T. I would highly recommend listeners go grab that dictionary. It's the other book on your bookshelf covered in dust, right next to the Bible, which is also covered in dust, and look up the word just. Because I think Americans have forgotten what integrity, honesty, character, and justice actually means. If it doesn't come across a image of the beast flat screen, they don't know anything. Well, I shouldn't say they, as in all-inclusive, because there is an element waking up. I've talked to young people in different chat rooms lately, and they're becoming very aware. In fact, it goes across all age groups. Just as it says in Ezekiel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. all flesh. Flesh typically means people. Now, does it mean only the Israelites? Or is it talking literally about all flesh? Well, the appearance to me at this time in history is that it means exactly what it says. He's pouring out his spirit. That doesn't mean that somebody who's aware of the evil in this world and wants to fix it is my brother. Adelphos in the Greek language, meaning from the same womb. No, my mother didn't produce albinos, blacks, browns, yellows, mixed. No, my mother's womb produced white children. My brethren are white people. And my spiritual brethren are white people who know Yahweh and his law and try to live by it. Those are my true brothers. Okay? This is what the Antichrist doesn't want you to know. Now, here's the thing. They want people like me to be looked at by the rest of humanity as a white supremacist. That's one of their favorite little ad hominem attacks against those of us telling the truth. Because we talk about the fact that we are a special people. Isn't it funny? You can call the Jews special people and nobody gets upset. But if you say the white people are special, everybody gets upset. Is that a sign of brainwashing, you think? Could it be? So they want the rest of the races to think that they should be fearful of white people who are talking like I am. And actually, that's not true at all. As long as you're obedient to Yahweh's word, you never have to fear me or anybody like me. Because we're after the wicked, and it doesn't matter what race they are. The wicked need to be put to the sword. They need to be done away with, post haste. Now, conversely, if you're a good person, you're going to have all the help you need. You're not going to find any nicer, kinder, gentler, beneficial type people than a true Israelite. He will go to war. He will sacrifice his life to destroy the wicked. But by the same token, our people have been known to, in many cases, even sacrifice their lives for non-whites when it was called for to perform a rescue or to prevent a bad person from harming somebody, etc. We've been known to do that throughout history. So who do you trust? I'd say you trust an Israelite, a white person who knows who he is and is obeying the law. That's who you trust. And as far as the Israelites, who are we going to put in charge? Yahweh's got leaders for you here, folks. He's waiting for you to understand who they are. All right? You have to come to the knowledge.
There is one other participant in the conference.
Welcome to the program, Doug.
Oh, thank you. Let me turn this fan down a little bit there. All right. Well, I always hate to interrupt because you're always able to just deliver a great message. When you mentioned just, I pulled out my interlinear, and so it says just from the Greek, fulfilling all claims which are right and becoming. That's the first sentence there. And then it says a right state, and then it has a parenthesis of which God and his word is the standard and the parentheses. So it says, fulfilling all claims which are right and becoming a right state so that no fault or defect can be charged of or from the Father. It refers to his doings as answering to the rule which he himself has established for himself. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to be just. Okay? This has nothing to... to do with our own ideas, our own opinions, possibly false interpretations of our studies of Scripture. When you look at that, that's what the just is, okay?
Right.
And it relates to being righteous, of course, okay? And when you spoke about earlier in the beginning of your teaching here in expose about the last judgment being of fire, it's interesting because when if I died right now, if I got hit by a car, if I drowned, my physical body would still be pretty much whole, okay? But when you burn something by fire, totally by fire, and we know that is what it's talking about, okay, in the Old Testament, et cetera. It's about total heat that reduces everything to its original content, its original substance.
Its original elements.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So that's what it does, which is basically, I'd say, carbon. That is the judgment that's going to be coming. Okay? It's going to reduce everything back to the original design, the creation of the Father, and it will burn off all the dross, anything that wasn't of the original design. It'll just burn it off. The only thing that'll be left is the substance from which the Father originally created everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so, as to the rest of, Satan's system and everything, you know, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, there is a united effort, whether it's, some kind of mind control or whatever, that keeps them together because it has to be together for it to have lived for so long and gaining ground, as it appears anyway, in these last days. They have to be united because our Messiah told us a house divided against itself can't stand. So there has to be some type of system, mind control or whatever, peer control, efficaciousness, which is a really big thing that I've spoken about for a couple of decades. You know, are you familiar with that, Dan?
No.
Efficacious. Well, efficaciousness is it's a notion. It's something that is where someone tattoos themselves, pierces their earlobes or other areas. They just go along to get along. That's why they do it. Affectatiousness is where people do things to give a message to the rest of the worldly people that they're one of them. Okay. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they understand it and do it for that purpose, but it is where people do things to influence others. That's why they do it. They want to go along to get along. They want others to like them. because they have tattoos, tattooed people will do that. Okay. And it's not the tattoo that condemns you. It's the going along that get along that where you are not actually you don't realize everything going on where the world is self-destructing, and so you ignore that because you want to get along with ideas and trends and clothing things. It can be anything, but affectatiousness is where you're not being your true self. Okay, you're doing things to influence others, and so it's very interesting. And this is real, what I'm saying right now. This is how the devil rules the world, and people just go along with it. And yet, when you look at the scripture of dealing with notable figures, we've got Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, David, Ezekiel, Enoch, Phineas, just on and on and on and on. And in today's time, we have we have people like Steve, Eli, David, James, just back in the day of the Old Testament, when I forget who it was, but he was complaining to the Father, and he said, "Man, I'm all alone here." And he said, "No, I've got 7,000 like you out there."
I believe that was Elijah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of us out here today, and when our Messiah comes back, he's bringing his angels. So, but it doesn't matter. We do what we do because we love our Father. Okay, that's the most important commandment. Yahushua was asked by Nicodemus, what's the most important one? He said, "Well, love your Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." So we're not alone. We're not afraid. We see his coming kingdom coming closer and closer and closer right in our faces here. And, I can't thank you enough, and Eli and everybody else for taking a stand. Phil, I certainly want to include him there, And the thing is that the enemy, the Jews, they use the Talmud as an example of the written scripture, but it's perverted. And our government officials use the written law, and they pervert that into statutes and things, so it becomes perverted. It's a ridiculous situation, but it's consistent if you can see it. So, excuse me. The sinners in the world, which are many, they're on the wide path. They use lies. They use this Talmud and all these false doctrines, the fables of the Jews, to convince themselves and deceive the sheep that haven't studied to show themselves approved. Studying isn't enough. You have to do it. But I'm just saying that we see from the Old Testament that the Father only had to have one man standing to bring his will to pass, like Joshua. Okay? I mean, Joshua had Caleb, but that was two. Okay, which is great. I'm glad Joshua had Caleb and Caleb had Joshua. But now we have like many, many, I'll say men of God who know the truth, who are strong, who are compassionate. I mean, just hear my voice. Okay. This is the type of men we have right now. So we should be encouraged. And just like kind of in a sense, okay, I'm not talking about an actual battle, but it's going to come at some point. But I'm just saying you rush towards the sound of the guns type of a thing. And so that when you talk about the Rhadamanthine warriors, okay, this has to do with being just. Real Rhadamanthine warriors, we don't have a choice. I mean, we have a choice, but I'm just saying that we've already made our choice, okay? So we're serving the Father with everything that we have, okay, to protect truth. It doesn't have to be like I'm going to go have to battle some nutcase with a gun killing people. It's when anybody speaks the truth of the scripture and about the Father's plan, you're already in, you know, you're committing an atrocity against the New World Order and the devil's plan. And so the truth is the light. It represents our Savior, and it represents our Father. So this is the warfare. That's soft, okay? But it's tied to being ready and able and willing to die, but I'd rather make them die. I don't want to make any mistake there. You know, I'm going to be fierce, okay? I'm going to make them die. That's my purpose. And dispelling lies, which we're just inundated by all the time, is part of this battle. And so when we love our Father, our Heavenly Father, and we love one another, and we stick together, and we're willing to fight for what's coming, for his kingdom. We know, we understand the description of his kingdom. It's going to be peace. So we men have to be willing to give all for his will, okay? We don't know how it's all going to work out as far as whether I live or you live or what I have to go through. The thing is that we're already committed. We're willing to do whatever, and we have to have patience. We have to pray. We have to seek wisdom, okay, because it's not our will. I might hate all whomever, like a Hillary Clinton or something like that beast, but it's not my will as to how she turns out.
Right.
It's my will to bring his kingdom, his love, which is here, his peace to people, so that in the battle we will be peaceful, we're trusting, we're confident, we're encouraged, we're brave, so that we, as warriors, do the best battle that we can.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. Very good. All right. Tell you what, Doug, unless you have something else there, I was going to leave the line open in case somebody else wants to call in.
That's It's good. Thanks for letting me rant.
It was a good rant, Doug. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Bless you too. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Doug in Arkansas. And by the way, it appears that some of our folks are heading that way. Migration, kind of like Israelites migrating up into the Boston Mountains or the Ozark Mountains. That could be a good spot. I think there'll be multiple spots for our communities to develop. That's one of the projects we're working on here in Florida. I haven't given up on Florida completely yet. However, as time is running out here, if something doesn't come to pass pretty damn soon, we may have to think about the Ozarks ourselves. But anyway, I wanted to bring about, oh yeah, there's another project. Okay, we don't have enough to do. I got another project I'm working on. This one's been a project that I've wanted to get started on, probably for decades, ever since I bought my first concordance, and that's been a long, long time ago. But I'm working with some software people to develop a website to build a interactive Bible platform. We're calling it the Identity Bible Program and Project. So IBP, if I ever email you about the IBP, that's what I'm talking about, the Identity Bible Project. And I want to bring together all the works of guys like Pastor Steve, Pastor Eli, David James, Andy, certainly Craig Howard and Michael and Michael, both our Michaels and Kurt there in Tennessee, and all the vast number of people that I've come to know over the years that have a lot of experience. And of course, Doug here too. But what I want to do is build a platform very similar to Wikipedia, because you can go to the Wikipedia site to find definitions, and you can make comments or edit it, and then they allow you to do that without a password or whatever. We're going to build this platform to where you have to have an ID and password to get onto the platform, and you can make comments, and then a steering committee headed up by myself will determine if the comments add to or detract from what we have in the base document, which would be the scriptures, of course, and go from there. We'll either amend it, modify it, footnote it. We'll have references. We'll have maps tied to everything. We can use it interactively. So if you're reading a verse and there's a map that would help you, we'll link to that. So we're going to build this thing because our people suffer from a lack of knowledge. All right, well, the knowledge is truth, and rightly divining the word has been a huge problem, as Pastor Steve can certainly allude to. So we want to bring all of this tremendous knowledge and research that everybody's doing, very much like the QAnon phenomenon, where a whole army of particularly young people are spending a lot of their energy and time to decipher these breadcrumbs, if you want to call it that, that the QAnon people are leaving as they're trying to guide us and educate us using the Socratic method. Okay? So it will be similar to that as we have this army of researchers out there that are utilizing their own experience, their research tools, their hard copy libraries, their electronic libraries. The idea is we're going to bring all this together, just like the 8chan people and the board operators are doing for the QAnon. We're going to do it for Yahweh's word. And the idea behind that is we want a platform for people to go, because our people are waking up very, very fast. And we need something that's flexible and fast to go along with it. So when a new piece of information comes in, whether it's out of George Lamps's idiomatic expressions of the Aramaic language, which if you haven't got a copy of that, I would highly recommend it. A lot of our ignorance, a lot of our misunderstandings comes from a lack of knowledge of Hebrew and Greek, but also of the idiomatic expressions of the day. And we have some resources available to us through tremendous works to fix those things. And we want to capture it as quickly as possible, get it into a living document that you can go to 24/7 and see what the board people, the counselors, the researchers, what is the latest and greatest information. When we find maps, old maps and stuff, we'll link to that. Any articles, etc., that will give more light to certain verses, we can link to that. You see what I'm saying? This will be interactive. It'll be a wonderful experience. It will be a great way to bring all this vast knowledge together. And anyway, that's another project. So keep that in your prayers. I have contacted some folks who have a lot of experience in programming and code writing, and we're going to see if we can put this thing together and kick it off. And we'll dump in a basic English translation to start with, and then we just start building from there. And I think the end product will be a phenomenon called the Identity Bible. And once we have all of this information, or at least a vast amount of it, put into this document online, we will look into what it would take to produce it in hard copy as a reference, not necessarily a Bible, even though we'll call it the Identity Bible. It will actually be a reference book because it will have pages in it devoted to concordances, pages devoted to maps, pages devoted to appendices of different people's articles, such as Pastor Eli or Pastor Steve or many of the other researchers out there. Again, the idea is we want to get to the truth, because as the scripture we just read says, the truth will set you free. We got to dig for it, folks. It's our Heavenly Father's prerogative to hide a matter. It's the honor of kings. Didn't he call us priests and kings? Yeah, it's the honor of the kings, that's you and me, to dig it out. It's to our honor and our glory that we dig out the matters and work as a team. And they say that's the problem. Some of our researchers that we have out there, the problem I've had with them is egos. Now, I'm not talking about the current EFR folks. I'm talking 20 years ago when I first started out in this. Many of the people I had the biggest issues with had huge egos. And you all can do what you want to do, but in my book, if the ego is so big that I can't get through the door into the room, I'm probably going to walk away. All right? I don't want to deal with it. I don't think I have to deal with it. I don't believe Yeshua would have dealt with it, and I don't believe Yeshua taught us to be that way. All right. So again, I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm trying to build a team, bring the family back together. And one of the biggest things that separates Jacob Israel today is a matter of egos. All right. Our people have forgotten the commandment of forgiving 70 times 7. What's that saying in the Bible? Do you think he wants you to use a little pen and paper and mark down every offense so that you equal 70 times 7? Or do you think it's an idiomatic expression meaning a lot? You should be willing to take an offense a lot in order to keep the brotherhood alive, to keep the fellowship alive, the working together, the family. Okay? That's what he was telling you. The turning the cheek was not meant to other races and non-believers. That's not what that was about. That was between, say, Pastor Steve or Eli or Dan or Greg or any of the other people or David James. If they offend me, not intentionally necessarily, but if they should offend me, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek because I care more about our fellowship and discipleship than I care about the offense. You see, our people have eggshell thin egos anymore. We used to be callous and rough adventurers and soldiers and explorers. And today, so many of us are like snowflakes and cucks. The least little thing sets us off. The least little thing offends us. It's like, what the hell? All right. What the hell? All right, let me see. Let me identify this first here. I got a caller, but I want to label it before I bring him on the program. Okay, area code 432. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Dan. My name is Lynn, and I discovered the identity message maybe 6 months ago as a result of listening to Andy Hitchcock, and I've been listening to Eurofolk as much as I can. I'm 72 years old, and I'm a widow. I've been a widow for 36 years, and I have many things that I would like to discuss with you, but I don't want to interrupt your program because I learned so much from it just listening. And I'm going to get off of here in just a minute, but if you have made note of my phone number, I would appreciate it when you have time if you could call me.
Interestingly enough, I just finished putting the last digit of your phone number on my pad here. So, yes, I have your number, and I will be glad to give you a call, and we can discuss whatever you would like to discuss.
I have lots of things to discuss with you, and could tie in with a lot of what you're doing, and your new project sounds wonderful.
Okay, Lynn, that's excellent. You can call in anytime you want, and is there any particular time you want me to call you? Do you have a certain, like, schedule or anything when it's better to call?
I'm in West Texas, and I'm like 20 miles out of the closest town, and my phone signal is not really good a lot of the time because there's a lot of oil field stuff going on here, and they don't have much in the way of towers, so probably in the evening around dark or a little after would be the best time.
All right. I will give you a call.
Thank you.
All right. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excelente. So we got new listeners all the time and more chances to reach out to our brothers and sisters. You know, that's the beautiful thing when you learn this truth is you get to share it with other people and watch them light up. Just like I did many, many years ago when I first got introduced to the message, it lit me up. I mean, I literally was on fire. I couldn't get enough identity material. And I've talked on the program many times about the fact I had over 1,100 cassette tape lectures by identity teachers. And anybody that knows me personally knows that's not a lie. And I donated all 1,100 of those tapes to our brothers and sisters there in Illinois that are building an identity library. I sent four or five cardboard boxes full of books and tapes, paid for it and shipped it up to them because I just had too many to lug around. I still have a pretty good library, but I filled up five cardboard boxes full of books, donated those and all 1,100 cassette tape lectures. The point being is when you get somebody that's telling you the truth and the spirit testifies to the truth, it really does. I could listen to those tapes hours on end, and I did. Now, we talked about persistence. A person who's in the identity message or a patriot that wants to restore America, the same principle applies. You're not in it for fame. You're not in it for money. And God only knows, those of us that teach this message, we're not getting either one of those, fame or money. Okay? You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. You have a burning desire to know. And back in the day, when I used to order those tapes, you couldn't get anything online because there was no such thing as an internet. So you'd have to write and find people that had the master copies and hope that they would make you a copy of theirs and send it to you. And often when you got it, it was so faint and there was so much noise. There were times I had to turn the volume up as loud as it would go and painstakingly listen to that 60-minute tape trying to hear what the person was saying. All right. But when you want the truth so bad that you're willing to subject yourself to that kind of torture, that's when Yahweh's going to use you for something. All right. Persistence, tenacity, a burning desire, a Gideon type of warrior. That's what Yahweh's going to turn this world around with. Not the cucks, the snowflakes, the soy boys out there. They're not going to make a dent in this world, but Yahweh's boys certainly will. All right. You have to have that kind of tenacity and desire for truth. And if you don't have it, you're not going to go anywhere. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Okay. A case in point, I was just called by a relative of mine just the other day. I hadn't heard from him in years. We used to get together at family reunions quite often, and this is going back probably 2 decades ago, 20 years ago. And I used to tell him the things I was learning about identity and about what was going on in the country and the criminality in Washington and all that. And he admitted to me on the phone, he said, Dan, we all thought that you were absolutely stark raving mad. He goes, we loved you as our cousin, and we didn't say much to you, but we'd all talk about it after the reunion that you know, you were just crazy. You know, how could you say the things you were saying? Well, he called me up here a few days ago and said, I have to tell you, I'm sorry that we didn't believe you. He said, you were obviously wiser than the rest of us in the family. Those are his words. He said, we didn't believe you, and yet almost everything you told us has come to pass. And I kind of chuckled and I said, well, I told you so does sound sweet when you're vindicated after all these years of being in the doghouse and being looked at as some kind of a nutcase. But you're always vindicated. And doesn't Yahweh tell us that? We do the right thing, not because we expect a reward in the here and now. We do it because our reward comes later. Now, sometimes Father gives us a little blessing, just like that phone call, and it did feel good, I admit that, to hear a cousin say, you know, I'm sorry, but you were right, Dan. That feels good, but that's not why I did it, because my reward is in the hereafter. It's not here. The things I get here are just icing on the cake, and that's the way you should be looking at it as well. When Yahweh gives us a blessing here, that's icing on the cake. Your main reward is coming. The things that you see around us here, this is nothing compared to what's coming. Nothing. Not even close. Just read through the scriptures what it's talking about. And listen to that still small voice talking to you. It will witness to you his love and mercy that he has for you. He's just wanting you to wake the hell up, people. That's all. Wake the hell up and get involved. He has no respect for the lukewarm. Isn't that what we read in scripture? What's he going to do with the lukewarm? Oh, that's right. Vomit you out. I don't know about you folks, but every time I've had to throw up, it wasn't a pleasant experience. It's actually quite nasty. And when you're sick enough that your stomach regurgitates what's in it, it means that it's that sour and it hurts that bad. Even as nasty as throwing up is, you feel better afterwards, don't you? You get that bad stuff out of your body. Well, you know what? You lukewarm believers out there, you're just that nasty to our Heavenly Father. That's why he said, I'm going to vomit you out. He didn't say, I'm just going to walk away from you. He didn't say, I'm just going to ignore you. He said, I'm going to vomit you out. Because you're that nasty. You are that offensive to him. It goes right along with the scripture. It says that nothing that offends Father is going to go into the kingdom. Are you listening? Nothing that offends the Father. So you people that have been listening to these lying prostitutes called preachers in these whitewashed sepulchers all these years, and so you're out there banding about taking the pharmaceuticals and pumping your body full of them and all the alcohol and all the other entertainments, and you're out there dillying, dallying around with race mixing. Oh, I know, you were told it doesn't matter. Really? It doesn't matter. Let's see, it's mattered in the animal kingdom for as long as animals have been around. It matters in the plant kingdom. It matters in the human world as well. It has always mattered. But you chose to listen to the satanic voice of the prostitute down at that whitewashed sepulcher. And so now you're out there participating in it because you think it makes you cool. Whereas Doug alluded to there, you're doing it to, quote, fit in. Well, Yahweh's going to vomit you out as well. Sorry. Sorry, that's just the way it is. I'm just telling you the way it is, okay? I feel sorry that your mom and dad didn't care enough that you weren't produced as a mixed child. I'm certainly not going to do anything to you, but I can't guarantee the father won't. It does say that nothing that offends him. So you should be very concerned. You know, everybody sloughs this stuff off very lightheartedly. Do you understand what judgment is talking about, people? Do you understand what fire is all about? Why do you think they used to call the old-timey preachers fire and brimstone type preaching? And it's not because we don't care about you. It's not because that we personally are offended by what you're doing. It's because they're trying to warn you about what's going to happen to you during the judgment. It's trying to get you to think before you act. Too many people today don't think at all. They don't even think before they engage their mouth, which I find very offensive. I learned a long time ago, it had nothing to do with this message. It had to do with mom and dad. Especially my father. He went to a lot of adult education. He never stopped going to school as long as he lived. He was always in some sort of an education program. And he taught me to engage a filter. And you might say, well, what the hell's that? It's before words come out of my mouth, I have formulated them in my mind, and I've already put it through a little test. Is it accurate? Is it beneficial? What will it cause? What will be the response? If you do that enough, it happens automatically and you don't even have to think about it. But it's a delay. It's a filter. We call it a filter. A lot of people today don't have a filter. Whatever pops in their head, they say it, and then they wonder why people don't like them. Or they wonder why they're always in damage control because they've offended or hurt or isolated themselves from somebody they might even care about. Because they don't put in a filter. That's all. Just a few seconds delay. Answer a few quick questions. And you'd be surprised how many times the filter comes back and says, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. You don't have to talk so much. What's the scripture say? It says it's a wise man who can get his point across with just a few words. It's a wise man who can get his point across with just a few words. Pontificating is not the sign of a smart man. It's actually the sign of somebody trying to bullshit you. You don't need to pontificate. You make your point, shut the hell up, period. Let the Holy Spirit and Father work on them. You plant the seed. What seed? He didn't say plant the tree. He said plant the seed. Little things, little truths, little sentences, just like my father taught me many things as we worked on the farm together. Little sentences at the right moment stick like a seed and it grows. That's the beauty. The scripture's telling you how to live, people. How to be free of the liars and deceivers and the perverts out there. You see, Satan's kids couldn't get away with anything that they're doing if we obeyed our Father. They wouldn't get a dime from us. They wouldn't get any of our money. They wouldn't get any of our time. They wouldn't get any of our obedience. They wouldn't get any of our respect. We would treat them just as they are, as Christ treated them. Devils, murderers, liars, deceivers. You know, the scripture tells us that we should not spare the rod when we're raising our children. That means punish them. When they do wrong, you punish them. It doesn't say to beat them up. It doesn't say to abuse them. It says punish them. A case in point, my oldest child was a daughter. And when she was little, there were many times she would get in trouble. And do you know how many times I had to punish my daughter? And she's in her 40s now. But do you know how many times as a little girl she actually got punished? I'm talking corporal punishment where I actually spanked her. 3 times in her entire childhood. That's all. 3 times. because after the third time she understood the principle. When Dad gets up out of the chair and he has that look on his face, it's going to hurt. That's all it took. For the rest of her childhood, all it took was a look and to start a movement out of the chair. And she stopped whatever she was doing. It's that simple. And now we have whole generations of children and people running around that don't have any concept of what discipline means. And we wonder why everything is a muck today. All right? It's called discipline. We've been trained and brainwashed by the, quote, system to think that Yahweh's ways are harsh and not fair. Really? I think I'll stick with Father's ways. It worked with my children anyway. I saw it work with other people's children. And many times it was quite nice to be vindicated. We'd be out at a restaurant, or I remember one day I was at a gas station and I had three of my children standing around me while I was putting air in the tires. They were just little. They were being homeschooled. And they stood around and I showed them how to put the air in the tire, how to measure the pressure. And I had a guy walk up, and he had a uniform on. I thought at first it might be a police officer. Turned out he was a delivery guy. But he walked up to me, and he shook my hand, and he said, "I just wanted to say thank you." And I said, "What for?" He says, "Somebody caring enough to show young people what to do." He goes, "I didn't think it existed anymore." You want to talk about feeling good? So it's taking the time and showing young people. It's not just punishing them, but also showing them good signs. It's also just like my father. My father was a harsh disciplinarian. Harsh. He fully expected his rules to be obeyed. Let me tell you. He had the look. He also had a strong, he was a strong man. He could hurt you, seriously hurt you, if he wanted to. The point of it is, it wasn't always harsh. It wasn't always demeaning or any of those things. Actually, the most I remember of my father was the times he patted me on the back and said, "Good job," or "Let's go to the Dairy Queen for an ice cream cone," because back then they were actually made with real cream, not the artificial junk they're made with today. Boy, was it good. He'd take us into town, put us in the back of the pickup truck. Back when people could do simple things like that, we'd ride in the back of the pickup truck, go into the town and get an ice cream cone because we helped out all day on the farm, or I did something good in football or baseball, or I got a good grade. Come on, let's go have an ice cream cone. You see what I'm saying? You mix it. It's not harshness. It's not always browbeating. It's not always putting pressure and punishment upon the people. You mix it exactly as Scripture says. It's our job to discipline, but it's also our job to encourage with a kind word. You know, I found that out to be at work when I was a supervisor in the power plants. I used to listen to what my father and my heavenly father told me in Scripture. I would often praise in public, and I tried to criticize privately. If somebody was doing something wrong, call them into the office and close the door and tell them what they were doing wrong. But when they were doing things right, you praised them in public so everybody would hear it. You know, that sounds simple. Almost ridiculous. It's so simple. How many people do it? How many supervisors did you ever work for that did such a thing? The ones that did, you never forget, do you? The few, the handful that were that way with me when I was coming up, and I had guys that worked for me come up and tell me that personally when we got laid off or they were going to another job, whatever. They would come up and tell me that they appreciated the fact that that's the way I was. You see, it's actually simple stuff. The problem is doing. You know, fixing what's wrong in this nation and in this world is simple. If the righteous would get off their ass and do it, that's all. It's not like we don't know what's wrong. It's not like we don't know who's committed the crimes. It's getting off your ass and getting involved. And stop being afraid. Our enemy knows that. Oh, okay, Doug, go ahead.
Yeah. Of course, everything you're saying is it's built upon the foundation of truth.
And I remember growing up with my dad, and he used a barber's strap on me, on my behind, a few times. And I won't say he was a good guy, because I don't think he was, but it disciplined me. And going back to John 8 there, I was talking about disciples, okay? And disciples is about being disciplined in mind and action and thought. And those punishments that I got, it certainly in a some type of way, it corrected me from thinking I was, you know, my dad. Okay, he had the power. He was the guy providing for the family and everything. You know, it's all about, you know, probably about 1995, I was thinking, and I thought, wow, I've spent about 10,000 hours, not reading the Bible, but actually researching, 10,000 hours. I don't know what a doctorate, to get a doctorate is, but it's way less than that. And then in the next, say, 10 years, you know, I estimated I'd probably put in 20,000 hours. This is using concordances, interlinears, looking at scripture. Now, most of that was all New Testament. It wasn't until EFR came along that I started to realize that the New Testament, the foundation of the New Testament, was tied to the Old Testament. So that was a great gift. Thank you, Eli, and the others that came before him for giving that to me. And It's all about the Father's commandments. It's all about His will. And it's all tied to a race of people. And when you talk about John 8, I also, you know, I opened up my Bible. I'm reading it there. I've got most of that highlighted. And then I also thought about John 10:10. Okay, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come to give life, and life more abundantly. So there's two different lives here. Okay. So this is what we're doing here. We're continuing the Father's word. We're continuing His work to bring His word, His promise, His will to pass by promulgating His word, what He says. And He backs it up with everything that He is, which is omniscience, omnipresent, all-powerful. And so in the midst of everything we're going through with the QAnons and everything else, the one central figure that you can trust in, if you've gotten there to realize it, if He delivers you, you know Him, okay, because you either pray to Him, that's what you do. I mean, you call upon you. People will say, you know, God, help me right now. And then something miraculous happens, which wouldn't ordinarily have ever happened. And then for someone that's never been involved in this kind of thing, you go like, wow, God is real. And then after that experience, you go like, you start talking to him, you start involving yourself more in that type of experience, and you start talking to him, you start praying to him more, and then as you learn more and more and more, because at that point, it's all about the me or you or the person. But once you realize how spectacular he is, how he does do these things, and is real, then you should begin to humble yourself and just go into that type of thinking where you're just calling upon him. If I pray for you, which I do, or EFR, and just so many more people, family, just all kinds of situations. In all of my prayers, I know the Father is real, so when I'm praying, I'm expecting him to answer my prayer, which is in the New Testament, it's called a petition. And if you know that that's real and you believe in that, you don't have to keep, it's like a court case, you don't keep putting the same petition in. Not that I don't do that, and we all do that. But in reality, once the petition's in, he has it there. And it's probably because of whatever that we keep doing it. And I don't say that's a bad thing, but the thing is that the Father is faithful. He's all everything. So we only have to pray one time for something. And if we're his, he gets the petition. If it makes us feel better to keep doing it, that's okay. But the fact is that once he gets that petition in there, he has a whole government in his system of angels and et cetera that take note of that. It's there from the faithful. Okay? It's there. And so it's just like all the QAnon stuff and everything. You know, I look at all this stuff here, Dan, and you know, it takes up time and to look at it and try to think about what it's saying, but I try to stay to the scriptural stuff where I know I'm talking to a real living Heavenly Father who loves me. I mean, I wouldn't even have this life if he hadn't sent his son. And he's aware of me. And so I just look at this as being, I really need to stay consistent in trusting in him to take care of all these matters, because they're way bigger, expansive, et cetera, than I can possibly do things. I can pray, which is powerful. It's always powerful because they're petitions we're putting up to him. My prayer myself is nothing unless he accepts it and puts it in his government and says, okay, Doug said this, or Dan said this, and he has the right to do this. And so, you know, send some angels out to do this to honor that and do something about that. So it's quite complex, everything we're dealing with, and his punishment that's coming is going to be like you spoke about people on his on the razor sharp fence. Okay, the father has to call a person, and this is my opinion here anyway, but you have to be sincere. You have to really want deliverance. And if you do, and you call out to the unknown God that you don't really know, he comes in and he goes, I'm here. And then he starts doing things. And if you're not, so what that means is that you leave the old life, totally, everything. You may not understand what that means, but you know that your whole reliance is upon him. And once you do that, then he takes over. And he provides and he protects you. And then now you have entrance to prayer, to pray to him, to talk to him. And so when, you know, this morning I woke up and I was like filled with joy thinking about things that are going on in my life with my son and my family. And it was all just real kind of basic about me being able to work and provide work for my son and bring provisions and digits in to just live. And it blessed me so much to think about that. But it's not about the provisions. It's not about the description of provisions, of what it provides and lets me pay my light bill. The blessing was because I knew that our Heavenly Father was doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All righty, buddy.
That's it, then.
Yeah. We're getting close to the end here, so I gotta talk to the folks here about something I got on my pad here. So,
well, thanks again for letting me put that inspiration out there.
Absolutely. All right, buddy.
Love you.
Yep, love you too. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless you and us all.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, again, Doug in Arkansas there. That's a witness from the heart. And that's part of what we're trying to do here, just like when we had Cody Snodgrass, who was the CIA operative, who was on the program a couple months ago now, talking about his time as a contractor working for the CIA, and he admitted that he was a murderer for our government. So those people out there that think a lot of this stuff we're talking about today is not true, well, then you call Cody up and you tell him he's a liar because he paid his dues. They tried to kill him on numerous occasions. They put him in prison for a while to shut him up. And yet, because of his knowing our Heavenly Father and the forgiveness that the blood of Christ can bring to a person, he's now shouting out about his experiences. So testimony is an important part of what we do. It lets other people know they're not alone, just like Elijah thought he was alone in that cave, and Yahweh said, I got 7,000 just like you. And, of course, that number is a idiomatic expression. It didn't mean that there's actually 7,000. It meant that I've got a multitude out there, and you don't need to worry about it. And the part about what Cody, when he came on the program, and he's been on many talk shows, was interesting because of my familiarity with the Oklahoma City bombing and the fact that Cody was approached by members of the CIA, his handlers, so to speak, and they offered him, I think he said, $1.3 million or something like that to blow up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. He turned it down, and when he turned it down, he knew that made him a marked man. So you're not supposed to say no. So as soon as he said no, that meant he has a conscience and we got to be careful. And so he was a marked man from that point on. But the point of it is, it was an inside job, like all of us have been saying ever since the 90s when that happened. And people thought we were crazy. All right. But the witnesses are coming forth. Cody's not the only one. Like we said, Kevin Shipp from the CIA is now speaking out. Robert David Steele is another CIA officer speaking out about what went on while they were in there, and they saw it. I have a friend here locally who's an FBI, retired FBI agent. He told me privately of some of the things that he saw. Okay, so the testimonies and the witnessing of folks is everywhere if you're paying attention. All right, if you're brainwashed and you just want to go by whatever the mainstream's telling you, well, then you're lost. All right, you choose to believe the lies. It's choice, folks. There's some people out there, oh, I don't have a choice. You know, what you're saying goes against what the preacher is telling me and the Catholic Church is telling me and the government officials are telling me and the guys in charge of the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon, they don't agree with you. And who are you to be telling me? Well, who was Christ? Did Christ go on the hills and say, here's my list of credentials? I've got the blessing of Caesar. I've got the blessing of Herod. I've got the blessing of the Jewish ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. So I've got a bachelor's and I got a doctorate in this. Did Christ say any of those things when he talked? No. What did he say? I bring you living water. Living water. Because whether you know it or not, you're on a desert, people. You're dying from thirst, and there's only one who can give you the living water that sets you free and brings back life to a bag of bones, because that's all you are. Without Yahshua's enervating spirit within you, you're just a bag of bones going through this existence. You're not going to accomplish a damn thing. Your life will have no meaning. You can have awards given to you by the beast, enough to fill a closet. And when you pass, nobody's going to give a damn. The beast sure as hell isn't going to give a damn. The people you think are your friends aren't going to give a damn. You mean nothing. And yet Yahweh says what? If you're my child, not only are you going to make a difference in people's lives here and now, but you don't even know what I've got in store for you. You have no clue of the bounty and the things that will be given unto you in the hereafter. You're in the big test. You're in the kettle, folks. You're being stirred around and you're all part of the stew. He's going to keep the best parts. What for? You and I have no idea. All right? We don't have brains that even can comprehend what's coming next. You don't. So give up on it. That's why I get such a chuckle out of these people that are all freaked out about the aliens and UFOs and the so-called universe out there and stars and planets and asteroids. Really? You know, you remind me of the little child in the crib that's mesmerized by the little toy that's spinning stuff around in front of them. That's what you remind me of. It's a distraction. What the hell do I care what's beyond the sky that I can see in front of me? What do I care? What do you care? Now, if you want to sit around the fireside and have a chat and a debate about it, well, that's what it is, fireside chat. There is no right and wrong. You can't prove your point. I can't prove my point. So it's meaningless. Focus on the here and now. Focus on what you can sense with your senses, your sight, your touch, your feel, your brain, your hearing, smell. He gave you the senses for the here and now. Your senses were designed to operate here on terra firma, not out there. So use them. Put that brain that's sitting up there on top of your noggin, put it to use. Instead of having it turn into mush with all this new age bullshit that's over your flat screens and your Hollywood productions and everything else, it's all BS. It's fear porn. What's coming across the flat screens is fear porn, it's called. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who's very distraught. And it's an emotional thing. And part of the discussion, it came out that this person is allowing some of this fear porn to get to them. Okay? So much so that they're becoming physically affected by this. I'm telling you not to allow that to happen. You're not supposed to have the spirit of fear. You're supposed to have the spirit of a warrior, which means you don't fear anything. You don't fear the enemy. You don't fear death. You don't fear being called names. You don't fear anything. You're a warrior. All you care about is victory. Every single moment of your life is towards a victory. Every warrior, every Rhadamanthine Gideon warrior out there should be thinking every moment of every day, how can I take this beast down? Let's gut this SOB and bleed it out. Hasn't enough babies died? Hasn't enough innocent men, women, and children died? Haven't enough soldiers bled the ground red for these beasts? We don't need them, folks. It's the obvious answer. Large, central, anything is not of Yahweh, and we don't need them. They want you to think we do, but we don't need them. That's the big secret. That's the big $50,000 question that nobody seems to want to talk about or answer. What you need is our Father. And when you communicate with Him and keep Him close to the chest, you can't go wrong. One with Yahweh is a majority. Don't ever forget that. And I can see we're out of time. We do apologize for the technical difficulties at the beginning of the program, but praise Yahweh, we're able to get through. Bless Eurofolkradio.com and all the good folks there and all the administrators and board operators. And we ask for your prayers to keep this ministry going, and we pray for all of you and ask Yahweh to bless you, to protect you, to guide you, and protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.